Welcome to the Insane Asylum. It's the Night of the Living Dreads podcast.
And welcome back to the Insane Asylum. You're listening to the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. The podcast for all and anything horror. I am your host, Otis B. Dreads. And beside me today, actually recording on a Sunday, this nice rainy Sunday, I have Mrs. Dreads. Good rainy Sunday to you, Mrs. Dreads.
Good rainy Sunday to you.
That was original. And before we get started, as always, I'm going to start out by saying I want to give everybody a little, countdown each podcast. We are 143 days away from the glorious night of the devil. Halloween, 143 days away. Again, this is June 9th. Isn't that the right date? Isn't it June 9th?
I think so.
It is June 9th when this is being recorded. So if you listen to it 2 days from now, do not try to correct me and say, no, it is less than 143 days. It's 143 days from this point right now, Halloween. And so before we get in, we're going to talk. We just went, was it last week?
Yeah, last week. Saturday.
Yeah, last Saturday. And we went and... watched Ma, and I am going to warn everybody, and it will be in the description. It's a spoiler alert, because in order for me to properly take and review this and express my disgust, I'm going to have to talk about some things in the movie. So before we get to that, if you don't want to hear it, if you haven't seen the movie yet, you may want to skip ahead in the podcast a little bit, because we may touch on some spoilers. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some upcoming movies that obviously are not out yet. Some look pretty good. One in particular, Chucky, Child's Play, the new Child's Play coming out. And you were kind of on the fence on that one, but we'll get into that. But first, we got to give out some horror love to Gorehounds of Horror. On Facebook, the best damn horror group on Facebook. Check them out. It's a closed group. Three simple questions get you in. Check over the rules. There are rules there. It's a great bunch of guys and gals who are horror fanatics, hopefully just like you. Another one, Misfit Horror Fiend Club, is another one if you like horror and you like the Misfits. And I do. So, ironically, I am over there as well as Malice. We're all over the little Facebook horror groups. Another one horror-related, After Dark. They do a lot of watch parties. If you're sitting around, you want to chat with some of your horror friends and watch a horror movie together on Facebook. I've never done it before.
Me neither.
I don't know really how it works. I think I've popped in on one just to see how it plays with people chatting and things like that. Didn't seem too bad. But that's where you want to go, After Dark, and also Cannabis Arcade, as I've mentioned before. Cannabis is spelled with a K, by the way. As I mentioned before, we are very, friendly, pot-friendly here in the Insane Asylum. If you just want to, get rid of all the stress of the day, light you up a big fat one. If you need a gut-busting laugh, you're definitely going to find it over there at Cannabis Arcade. And, of course, Night of the Living Dreads, Dreads with no A. We are also over there on the book. So, there you go. There's your little rundown. Check them all out. Now, before we get into Ma, and again... Spoiler alerts to be heated. got some movies coming up. It Chapter 2 is coming out September 6th. The trailers look good.
I think they do.
It doesn't look bad from what I understand. You know, the first, you know, remake of it that just focused on them more as kids.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think it has them more grown up, going back to Derry. Isn't it? Yeah, Derry. Mm-hmm. Going back to Derry, Maine, and, you know, trying to defeat Pennywise once and for all. So they kind of took, like, the original and split it up into two movies. Because
right.
The original was, you know, pretty long damn movie. So I'm excited to see that one, too. We have Annabelle. Annabelle Comes Home. We just watched these trailers just a few minutes ago. That's coming out June 25th. 25th of this month, yes. And that looks pretty damn cool.
That one does look good.
It looks like it's got, you know, your typical, of course, that's part of the Conjuring, you know, franchise, you know, goes along, you know. The Nun, I think, is also a part of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty big family, that Conjuring family, and I always got some pretty, you know, felt a little creepy at times watching these, get a little creeped out, the goosebumps, some pretty decent jump scares. And for the type of horror movie that it is, that being kind of your supernatural and you know, paranormal type things, hauntings, I think they do a great job. So I'm anxious to see that. Annabelle, 25th of this month. Annabelle Comes Home, that is. And, of course, Chucky, which, you know, I probably fall in line with a lot of other people when you look at the new Chucky doll. I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't know.
I don't know. It looks too, I don't know, polished maybe. I'm just not a fan of that look. But, and I wasn't even like a huge fan of the original Child's Play series.
Right, I like the original.
Yeah,
the original Child's Play.
Right.
I never watched the sequels, but
I think I may have seen, you know, part two. I think I may have seen, you know, part of whatever the Bride of Chucky one is. I think I just seen bits and pieces. I was just never that kind of horror guy. Even though I guess you could call it a slasher movie, which is my preference when it mm-hmm. comes to horror. Yeah, a slasher by a two and a half foot doll. That's just not scary to me.
That's the horror movie, though, that I think got the kids
into
horror, because we would watch it on VHS.
Yes, I do remember having it, yeah. And
that and Caddyshack.
What a weird, twisted family we are. But watching this trailer and hearing Mark Hamill, yes, Luke Skywalker, you know, playing, doing the voice. And what little bit I've heard, it doesn't sound that bad.
No,
the voice.
Right. I don't think he does a bad job at all. I don't know. It's not one movie that I'm excited about seeing this year.
I see, watching the trailer earlier, I'm thinking, that looks like a lot of action. It actually doesn't look that bad. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on that one.
I'd go see it just for the fact of review purposes and
sure.
to be able to just, because I am a big fan of the original. But
right.
I just, I don't know. I think for today's day and age mm-hmm. when with people dealing, like with how it looks on the trailer, it being technology based, that Chucky's being controlled by technology
right.
and not by
he's not
the paranormal.
Right.
He's not possessed by a spirit.
That serial killer, right.
So, I mean, that just kind of threw me
that.
Off a little bit, because
yeah.
I'm like, but in today, I mean, it is all technology-based.
Right.
So maybe it's going with the times
sure.
pretty much.
You know, I get that, you know, but that kind of takes an important element that even intrigued me in the least little bit with the first one, is that this serial killer,
you know,
dies or possesses this doll so he can continue to live, you know, through this. That premise right there got me to want to watch the original.
Right.
You take that out, now I'm like, oh, what is this, a fucking robot now? I mean, what is this, some little...
That's what it seems like.
You know, and that just, that they've taken, to me at least, they've taken an important part of why I like the premise of it,
right.
you know? So we'll see. As you said, we'll both get, but we are going to be torn because Toy Story comes out the very same day. I mean, if you just think of the irony of that, okay, you have,
that's pretty funny.
You have Toy Story, okay, obviously everybody knows the deal with Toy Story. You know, he's got these toys and they come to life, but they play with them, getting these funny little kooky shenanigans and blah, blah, blah. And then you have Chucky, okay, coming out the very same day, a doll who, a toy, basically, who comes to life and kills fucking people. It's like the same basic story, you know, common thread between the two, but yet one kills and one just plays and wants to have fun. And that's the big thing going around. You see, you know, the different movie posters. Mm-hmm. It shows, you know, Chucky taking out one of the toys, you know, Woody or Buzz or whatever, which is, you know, absolutely humorous. We watched a couple like little mashups that they did where they would play the audio from the new Child's Play movie and overlap it on top of and kind of doctor it up a little bit and overlap it on like the Toy Story new trailer, but without, you know, the, you know, a lot of the audio. That got a chuckle out of us. So it's going to be a hard decision, but I don't even think I'm going to have to flip a coin here. I think I will check out, the Chucky versus Toy Story.
No, I'll still get it. Like I said, I'll
still get it. Yeah. So, now let's get into one that we did go see. And, this, that being Ma, came out the 31st last month, May. And, so it's been out for about a week or so, a little over a week. And it's one of those ones where, you know, you watch the trailer and they do such a fine job on the trailer that you're really intrigued. And you're kind of pulled in, you're sucked in to you know, saying, yep, I want to go see this mm-hmm. movie. I mean, did you get that with the trailer? Because
yeah.
They showed the trailer when we went and watched the new Pet Sematary.
Right.
And I was like, wow, man, it's like Nell Carter from fucking hell, man. I mean, she just had a Nell Carter look to me. I don't know. And, you know, I was like, wow, well, check that shit out. All right, right on. And so we went. And basically, the long and short of it is, you know, this is a story. It's got a lot of backstory. It does a lot of flashbacks. It was very slow.
Yeah.
Not really a whole lot. You get a lot of the backstory. It's like 3/4 of the movie was describing Sue Ann. Sue Ann. Sue Ann Ellington, which is the character played by Octavia Spencer, who actually did a really good job acting wise.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, I think she really played that part in that, you know,
all
character
that,
well.
It wasn't an acting issue.
No, it wasn't.
That movie.
I don't think so. I don't think any of the acting was really all that bad. But and the storyline. Okay, I thought it was pretty cool. But, like, a lot of reviews that I've read, just to see how they, you know, play with mine, were pretty similar. We all agreed the acting was not that horrible. Octavia did a... In fact, they described it, they're like, Octavia, this great actress, you know, why would she take a role in a pumped-up B-movie? And that was such a good way to put it when you described it. A pumped up, a hyped up B movie.
Yeah.
Again, it strung out so long in the beginning. You don't really get to anything. I don't even know why they put horror in it.
Yeah, because there's not any...
There's no, like, gore. It's more of a terror-based film than horror.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've discussed this on past podcasts, but, you know, psychological thriller, I think, is more fitting.
Yeah, I do, too.
It wasn't until, you know, like I said, you have 45 minutes of showing because you have reoccurring characters from Sue Ann's, teenage years, which they're trying to show you how it caused her to be the way she is now, with, and that being inviting, you know, these teenagers are playing Hey Mister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you're still listening, then you don't care if I'm going to spoil some of this movie, but they're playing Hey Mister. And they try, and, you know, one guy tries it, he's unsuccessful, and then they, you know, get the main chick character, I guess. They get her to go out and do it. Well, here comes Ma walking down the street. Now, she's a veterinarian, or assistant or something, right? And she's walking, and they get her to do it. She, you know, blah, blah, blah. She brings it out. Well, what Sue does is she notices that the emblem on the truck, okay, happens to be a security company. And who, that van belongs to a guy named Ben, who is also, you know, in, from her past.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben's son is one of the ones driving the van. So they tell her where they're all going. They're going to go party, you know, at this one place, this one hangout, as we all did probably when we were teenagers, you know, a bunch of you hit the fucking woods after you done played Hey Mister for fucking, you know, 2 hours. You finally get that six pack and you're ready to hit the woods. And so she kind of anonymously narcs them out, calls the cops on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of sets it up for the fact of her inviting, oh, well, you guys still want to party? Look, it's safe at my house. It's safe. I got a basement. I never use it. You guys can just party there. Just, you know, no cursing. You must call me Ma. And so basically, that's the premise. And then, of course, as that 45 minutes drags on, some of the teenagers start noticing, oh, I think I'm missing some of these people who'd get all fucked up in her basement. She may go and steal earrings or pieces of jewelry or something. So they start getting suspicious.
Right.
And then it just, you know, it escalates, like I said, probably the last 45 minutes of the movie.
That wasn't even horror.
It wasn't. You know, they could have done, I think, so much with it. Now, what do you think so far? Like, up to our daughter's favorite part in the movie, which is when things got, you know, a little better, I guess. It was, up till that point, the best part in the movie. Ma's driving down the road, ends up running over one of the girls that used to, you know, tease her and shit in high school, and runs her over, and then, you know, simply calls her a cunt. And my daughter's cracking up. I told you, we were a weird fucking family. But, I mean, up to that point, what were your thoughts? Because I know they changed later on, which I'm going to get to. But what'd you think about, like, the first half of the movie? You ready to fall asleep?
Yeah, it was, I don't know. Like you said, the storyline itself wasn't a bad storyline. They just drug it on for
ever.
There could have been more put in there.
And then, you know, I think it could have been executed maybe a little bit different. One of the reviews I read, you know, they were saying, like, that, you know, the writers, you know, the screenwriters, you know, that part of the, movie, you know, was just wrong. It was like, you know, some of the characters were in situations where, if you think about it, the realistic, you know, action that you would have thought would have been taken was not.
Right.
And so, you know, there's been a lot of criticism on the screenwriting, the fact that it was a B movie, the fact that you have this great actress in Octavia Spencer, that, you know, that could be almost career ending. I mean, and I know some people are going to say, well, come on, Otis, it wasn't that damn bad. Well, to me, it was. It was kind of a snooze fest. Sure, it picked up a little bit of speed after the halfway point, after she runs over, you know, which was the first time in the movie you ever saw any blood. It was just all weird, you know.
You didn't really see blood then either.
Not really, no. But any little bit of blood, that was it. about halfway through the movie. So, you know, before that, you just got, again, you got a lot of backstory. You got, you know, the weird, creepy glances at this person, at that person, and, you know, you're just kind of building up to where, you know, boom, you know, everything explodes, which it does, but I thought it took too long to get to. After that, I was a little bit disinterested. I mean, and then it got to a point where I have no idea, because when they, you know, first get there, there's another rule, okay, when partying in Ma's basement, and that is you do not go upstairs. There is a bathroom down here. You have everything you need down here. You do not go upstairs. Well, that ends up happening by two of the girls who had to use the bathroom or something. So, and they get caught, obviously, blah, blah, blah. And a different side of Ma comes out, and she gets a little, you know, rough with them, whatnot. And not long after that, it comes out that, because the girls, I think some of the teenagers there, they heard Ma, like, yelling at somebody.
Yeah, but they...
Earlier in the movie.
Right, but it's when they went back, because...
looking for the earrings? Okay, all right. And so they hear Ma yelling, but they, this whole time, they thought Ma lived alone. There's just a lonely, antisocial, you know, kind of woman. And they hear her talking and yelling at somebody. Well, it comes out later. Here we go. This is where, when we started seeing these scenes, now she has a daughter. I don't know where this fits in the fucking plot at all.
No.
I really don't. I don't know
why. It comes out a little bit more in the end. But.
Sure, but, I mean, the girl didn't serve any purpose at all.
Throughout the movie, not at all.
Yeah, her daughter, that is.
Right.
And it comes out that she's got a daughter that, quote, here's my air quotes, confined to a wheelchair, even though her daughter can walk.
Mm-hmm.
What does this sound like to you, Jody?
Gypsy Rose.
It does, don't it? The story of Gypsy Rose and her mother, Dee Dee, I believe her name was, taking and, you know, pretty much convincing her daughter, you know, through force, manipulation, whatever, that she couldn't walk. And and when we started seeing that, me and you both just simultaneously looked at each other like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
And that, honestly, knowing that she has a daughter, having her daughter in the movie at all, it literally made no sense to me.
Yeah,
because I thought it was just simply, I mean, that doesn't really back up any of the story of why Ma's the way she is. It doesn't.
Yeah, because you never know, you never find out from where this daughter came from.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. She just started, like, hanging out.
It's not like they gave you a backstory on her, too, to make her fit in somewhere into the movie.
Exactly. I didn't catch it either, if there was. The flashbacks of her being teased, put in some very humiliating circumstances by these teenagers who are now also in her life, but as
are the
adults.
Parents of the kids.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, this daughter come up and it's like, oh, now we're just going to bite on the Gypsy Rose story. Okay, let's see where this plays out, because we only got about 20 minutes left in this fucking movie. How's this working? And you've seen the whole Dee Dee, Gypsy Rose, you know, story just kind of blossoming. Where? Why is this happening?
Right.
You know, I'm expecting, which we did see bits and pieces, I'm expecting Ma realizing she's been pretty much busted. You know, because they're on to her now. And I'm expecting Ma just to go, you know, total fucking psycho killer on them, you know, on these teenagers or whatever. And I guess it happened. I was just blown away by the whole Gypsy Rose, you know, similarities.
Because when they went and seen, when they found out about the daughter, they didn't get caught.
Right. Yeah, because she was coming in, they were able to escape.
Right.
And then, of course, her daughter had to hurry up and jump back in the wheelchair. And it's like, come on. I just don't understand that direction of the movie. But that, you know, not long after that, the movie ends. And that's the one spoiler I will give you, pretty much, because I was half asleep at the time and probably don't remember it with any bit of accuracy. So, all right, enough babble about what I'm going to call a shit movie. I'll start with you, Jody. What are you going to give it overall? I mean, we like some points
probably
of
about,
it.
Probably about a C-.
A C-, you know. I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to give it probably just, yeah, I'm going to have to go right along with you, you know, a C-, too. Again, there were some good aspects to the movie. The plot, I thought, could have been, you know, dealt with a little bit different. They could have, you know, stuck to it instead of bringing characters in that made no difference in the fucking movie at all. What did it matter that, you know, we know that she has a child that she treats like Gypsy Rose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what? How did that even play out? It doesn't, you know. And the acting by Octavia Spencer, again, I think the acting on all of it, it wasn't bad acting, you know. Thought it was, you know, actually, you know, pretty good in today's new movies coming out and some of the even recent ones that's already been out. So, yeah, I'd give it a C- myself. You know, hey, if you haven't seen it and you decided to, you know, listen to the, you know, maybe some spoilers, well, you know, hey, you can't get them 2 hours back. That's all I'm going to say. You can't get them back. I was not happy with it. Also want to talk about, we're going to take a little musical break, and but Three from Hell, that is scheduled to come out just 2019. There's been no release date as of yet, but the very anticipated trailer will air tomorrow. That's right. Tomorrow. Zombie's been teasing everyone with these this countdown starting, you know, about 6 days ago. 6 days to the trailer. 6 days to the trailer with a new image of, you know, certain characters and not. And of course, the last little countdown picture showed a picture of Sharon Moon Zombie playing, obviously, Baby Firefly. In this, you know, nice little buttoned up shirt, you know, look like she's being escorted into a courtroom or something, someplace formal, looking very somber. And so I'm excited as hell for it. I'm a huge zombie movie fan, mm-hmm. you know, anyway, and of his music as well. So, he's given a rated R, rating, and, to no surprise, but the reason being is going to be a lot of sex, a lot of drugs, and a lot of sadistic violence. So if that doesn't get you pumped up, I don't know what will. Check your fucking pulse. All right, like I said, we're going to take a little break, and speaking of having to check your fucking pulse, this break is by a band called Children of Bodom. Now, there's a reason that we're playing this, because I hadn't heard of this band before I started looking into the story that we're going to talk about. They're from Finland, so, you know, sometimes I think they're speaking English in their songs, other times I'm not so sure. I think
he speaks perfect English.
He does speak really good English, yeah.
So I don't think there is I think Finland is English.
I don't know. That's some weird names. We're not even going to pronounce some of the names of some people we're going to talk about, unless you can. But this guy isn't trying it. But we're going to talk about the Lake Bodom murders. This was, you know, said to be possibly one of those stories that inspired the Friday the 13th series. So, it's an interesting case.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get to start talking about it. But I have to gather my senses, and we're gonna play a little bit. It's a song called Lake Bodom. by children of Bodom, which they said. That's just fun to say, Bodom. Which the lead singer said, as he was in one of these documentaries we watched talking about, because he lives pretty close to there. And when this, he would hear stories growing up, because it happened before he was born. So he got very familiar with it. But, you know, he thought that they were going to get into some, you know, legal issues and whatnot using the name Children of Bodom by, you know, the families of the, you know, the victims and whatnot. But they did not. And so here it is, Children of Bodom. Their song, Lake Bodom. Bodom. A song called Lake Bodom, which I thought was fitting because that's what we're going to talk about. Lake Bodum murders. I don't know. A lot of people are, you know, familiar with this. But Lake Bodum, just a little, you know, back history, I guess, on the area, you know, is, well, I guess it was a place, you know, it had a nice little beach. It was a really, you know, that was the place to go, you know, in the summertime when they had sun, you know, they would have to deal with 6 months, you know, no sunlight or whatever. And, you know, it was a fun spot. It was a place where people go camping. There was a lot of wooded areas around there. Like I said, a beach, and it was. I noticed it had been compared to, possibly one of the stories, maybe that was his name, Sean Cunningham, I believe, isn't it? The director of Friday the 13th. Who knows? But the similarities are very, similar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of similarities there. So, Jody, why don't you give us a little, backstory on this? What are we getting into? How did this all happen? How did we end up here?
I don't know. It happened June 5th, 1960. And in Bodum, Finland.
Actually, it's Espoo.
Yeah.
Espoo.
Yeah.
And that's even more fun to say than Bodum. Espoo.
Four kids. Had went camping out at Lake Bodum.
Weekend thing.
Yeah. It was two guys, two girls. Two guys, and I guess it was both of their girlfriends.
Which seemed like, the thing that, a lot of teenagers would do, all over the place. You get a chance to go camping with your friends and get away with some shit that you normally wouldn't get away with, have some beers and drinking, and we can start to see some similarities with Friday the 13th. There was a lot of promiscuous activities in Friday the 13th. There was a lot of drinking and things that teenagers shouldn't be doing. So it sounds like a good time. What the hell happened, Jody?
Well, from what we've seen and stuff, it showed there's a... sorry.
You what kind of language? Is that Finland?
Oh my God.
Is that Finnish? what are you speaking there?
I don't even know. But there's... different theories on what happened out there. They were found the next day, June 6th. They were found by some joggers, and they had all been killed except for one. His name was Nils?
Nils, yes.
Nils Gustafsson.
Man, Gustafsson, wow. See, you do it pretty good. And there was 15-year-old, the girls were 15.
Yeah, and the guys
these were
18.
Young kids, and the guys were 18. I think the one girl's name was Myla. One was Anya.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other male, his name was Seppo. And, going out camping, blah, blah, blah. There's this is where we'll get into, some of these, different theories, because this case is still unsolved. What apparently happened was, they were apparently drinking and having a good time. Nils, his version of it was that they were, I think him and his girlfriend, they were away from the campsite, from how, we've seen it depicted and what I've read. They were away from the campsite. This is just one of the theories, because there's a few. And the other two, Seppo and Myla, that was his, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Well, they were kind of like making
no.
out. No, it was Anya.
Yeah.
Okay. So Seppo and Anya were doing their little thing. And then it said that, this guy comes out of nowhere, ambushes the tent, kills them two in the tent, Myla, maybe whatever, and Nils return to the tent to find, you know, this struggle going on. The guy is apparently wore out from all, you know, exerting all this energy and stabbing and then smashing her face in with a rock and all this. You know, he gets Nils as he comes in, gets his girlfriend and takes off. Steals some stuff. I think this is one of the theories. Now this theory, if you can find me, the crazy guy who would throw rocks.
Vladimir.
What is it?
Vladimir.
Vladimir.
Yeah.
Vladimir. Yes. He actually, his family owned some of this land. Now, the backstory on him, because this is the theory I'm talking about. The guy ambushing is who they thought might be Vladimir. His family owned some of this land. He was known to, threaten teenagers with knives, throw rocks at kids when, you know, walk by his street or whatever. He was just not a very friendly guy, said to be maybe a little off his rocker. I guess in his eyes was protecting the family land. And so he was, the fact that these kids had, you know, were killed mainly stab wounds, and he was seen at times wielding knives at kids.
Mm-hmm.
He was thought to be, this seemed like a pretty plausible theory.
Well, you had Hans.
Yeah, Hans, yeah, who, ass man.
Yeah, who he turned himself in the next day.
Yes.
And he was said that he lived in walking distance.
Right.
He had been suspected earlier of slaying a 17-year-old girl.
Right.
They classified him as a crazed lunatic stuff, but once they were going to convict him of this, well, charge him with this, the KGB stepped
in. KGB.
Yeah, KGB stepped in and...
Because he was a spy.
Yeah, he'd been a spy. So they, everything was shut down with him.
Yeah, they didn't want nothing. Then when the KGB stepped in, they didn't want nothing to do with that. So they pretty much dismissed him. And he had also, I think, arrived at the same hospital later on, covered in blood. The same hospital that Nils was now at, getting checked out.
Right, and confessing to doing this.
Right. But because, you know, the KGB steps in, I guess they figured to nix that little aspect of the investigation. Okay, so that was one.
Then you had Vladimir.
Vladimir, which was the first one that I talked about. Now,
and his wife had gave, like, some bullshit alibi that...
Right.
Stuff. Well, then, if you remember correctly, because he drowned him, he committed suicide.
Right, by drowning in this lake. Another similarity to Friday the 13th.
Right, and then she came out after his passing and recanted his alibi.
Right.
Said that it was all a lie.
Yeah, and then, he was one, was known to be a little disturbed and whatnot. So, he drowns himself. They say most likely, a suicide. So that was one of the theories. Okay, that was Vladimir ambushing the two teenagers. The other two come in, they get hit. Okay. Then we have what we'll mention a little bit about Ass Man, Hans Ass Man, and he actually, it's pretty similar in how it happened. But how it happened was apparently Seppo went to go take a leak away from the other three campers. Okay. And that is when Hans takes and attacks him. Well, him being gone for a little bit, the other three decide to go check him out. They're ambushed as well by this guy. I think he gets Nils. The two girls run, try to hide. There's no real place to hide. This guy knows the area well. I think he had, Hans being, some military backgrounds. He's you know, pretty quick and probably pretty stealthy if he's, you know, a fucking spy, I would guess. And then he finally catches up with the girls and attacks them. So, that was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the one that Nils, this is the other theory that, Nils put out there. From what he could remember, they were all in the tent. He remembers mm-hmm. being ambushed by, you know, just a black figure. It was
cloaked.
A black cloaked figure with red eyes. That came in. That's all he could remember. Everything was kind of a blur, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And he just, I mean, still stands by that. You know, 40-some years later, 50 now,
right.
You know, he still stands by that.
Well, after, I mean, remember they put him under hypnosis.
Right.
And he gave a sketch.
Yeah. And that's what it looked like, the black. Or
no.
The, no.
It was an actual sketch of him.
Oh, yes. That actually, they say, resembled Ass Man.
Yeah.
But, of course, they were not investigating Hans anymore. I don't think he showed back up in their investigation after that.
I don't think so.
And so, and here's some problems, though. And then, of course, you know, Nils is obvious, as we've mentioned, the only one who survived. He had some what they call superficial wounds. None of them were life-threatening, which seems odd. Of course, him being the lone survivor of, you know, a triple murder here, and he is going to be the top suspect.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, understandably. You know, they're going to question him, and you know, hey, that's where their investigation is going to start, with the lone survivor. But here's the weird thing. His shoes happen to be found 50 meters away.
500 meters.
500 meters from the campsite, which is strange. On these shoes, they were able to determine that the other three teenagers' blood was on these shoes. Nils, whose shoes, you know, they were, had none of his blood on them. How did his shoes get 500 meters away from the campsite? I mean, did the killer go in there and attack them? Because this is the whole, you know, the killer attacks the campsite. And just takes some personal things, some, you know, some of their gear or whatever, and then just decides to take Nils's shoes? Because they have footprints in the snow, mm-hmm. I think, tracking, you know. That. So he wore the shoes. So the killer puts Nils's fucking shoes on, walks 500 meters, and then takes them off?
Right.
That seems just absolutely ridiculous to me.
Plus, there was a witness that heard
yes.
Nils and Sapo arguing.
This is the most plausible theory in my opinion. There was another one, because like you said, you know, in the nice days, this is a nice place to camp. A lot of people just go out there just to relax. This woman, you know, just sitting there, and all of a sudden, here's some, you know, teenagers yelling and whatnot. Said it sounded like, you know, they had been drinking and... I think she might have even said it sounded like, you know, an argument over a girl
mm-hmm.
or something like that. Shit that teenagers, you know, going to fight about. Are you looking at my girl? You looking at my girl? Whatever. And that's what, you know, she got out of it, out of what she heard. So this theory runs. And again, I think this is the one that I'm going to stand by, because, again, it's unsolved. There's this argument, breaks out. Nils thinks Seppo is hitting on his girl. As the night progresses, more drinks, and an argument breaks out. And now it's almost like fueled by passion with Nils. You know, some pushing, some shoving goes on. I think, you know, Nils grabs a rock or something, hits him in the fucking head, knocks him down, whips out a knife, and stabs him multiple times. Mm-hmm. Then goes to, you know, one of the other girls, I don't know which one was first, stabs them. When he gets to his girlfriend, that, they said, was just an overkill, up to 15 times, which indicates to investigators that this somebody knew this person. You know, you have three murders. The other ones are stabbed enough to kill them. The other one, most of the stab wounds, they say, came after, you know, the initial death, if you will. So, again, that led investigators to believe that, okay, this is somebody that, you know, knew this girl. It was maybe, you know, in a relationship, an angry boyfriend, a crime of passion. And so that kind of put the eyes on Nils. And this, again, is a theory that I think holds, is, you know, the most water. Now, how did Nils get his injuries? With this theory, it's speculated that after, you know, all of this, the next morning, he wakes up and sees what he's done. He's sober now. He's not raging as you know, he was the night before. And turns around and is like, okay, I have to come to terms with this. I have the blood of, you know, my friends who are now laying before me dead. I have to do something. I've come to terms with the fact that, yes, I did this, but how am I going to get out of it? So, being that his wounds were pretty superficial and not life-threatening,
right?
He takes, and it's said that he could have very easily stabbed himself in the leg, stabbed himself in the gut.
Yeah, they said all the wounds that he had that he could have done himself.
Yeah, very easily done himself without killing himself. So, that's why I think that this theory, you know, holds the most water, in my opinion. And I have a cat that is going to lose one of its lives, I think. Mrs. Dreds went out there on a war path after this. So we got three dead bodies, one survivor, who, you know, was a, you know, a suspect. It was a couple boys, actually, that found them, I think. They were bird watchers. It says, reportedly seeing a tent collapse and a blonde man walking away from the site.
I think those were other witnesses.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thumbing through some of the witnesses and whatnot, but so this again happened 1960, June 5th, was it?
Mm-hmm.
June 5th, on a Sunday, and March of 2004, almost 44 years after this entire thing, Nils, who is not a suspect in the case as far as the public knew.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was just open that he had been cleared and whatnot, was arrested. They picked him up, and in early 2005, the Finnish National Bureau of Investigation declared the case was solved based on new forensic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
According to the statement, Nils had been drunk and excluded from the tent when he attacked the other boy, getting his jaw broke in a fight, which escalated into him committing three murders. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
They told him, get the fuck out of the tent, man. You're fucking drunk. Whatever. You know? And then there's a fighting between him and Seppo. Seppo breaks his fucking jaw. He goes into a rage. And when you see the pictures of him, You notice how his one jaw, the younger picture of him after he, you know, I'm assuming while he was being questioned or whatnot, his jaw is just, it looks like he's got a fucking grapefruit in that thing, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely broke or fractured or something.
Right.
The trial started, though, for Nils on August 4th, 2005. So, I mean, That's a long time, you know, 45 years after this, and that they're putting him on trial. His defense lawyer argued that the murders were the work of one or more outsiders, and that Nils would have been incapable of killing three people given the extent of his injuries. Unless, like my theory, and like the one I think holds the most water, he killed him. He didn't have any injuries on him, other than maybe a broken jaw.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have anything that would stop him from committing murders. He wasn't bleeding out or anything. I don't think he started bleeding until after the murders were done, and he had to make it look like he was also attacked. He was just the lucky one.
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't sit well with me, but... It says here that it had always been known that the shoes worn by the killer and left by him 500 yards away, not meters, away, belonged to Nils, who was found barefoot.
Right.
The significance of the modern DNA analysis for the prosecution was it showed that three murder victims' blood was on the shoes, but Nils was completely absent. Because he didn't bleed, he took his shoes off, probably tried to get rid of them because they had the blood all over them of his friends. And then he proceeded to cut himself, stab himself, which you're not going to get. And he didn't have the shoes on.
Right.
That explains that. Prosecution said it followed that Nils must have been stabbed at a different time to the attack of the murder victims. Exactly. And that the explanation of this was that Nils' knife wounds had been self-inflicted after he committed the murders and took his shoes off. Prosecution attempted to bolster their case with an identification by two bird watchers of Nils as the man they observed at the scene of the crime. So they pinpointed Nils. Say, yes, that's the man we saw walking away from this collapsed tent.
Right.
So everything seems to, point towards him. That was their case against him, which seems pretty fucking rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in 2005. But on October 7th, 2005, Nil was acquitted of all fucking charges. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
And not only acquitted, the state of Finland paid him $44,900 whatever their form of currency is, for mental suffering caused by the long-term remand time. But he refused, but he was refused permission to sue Finnish papers for defamation because, you know, they pretty much, you know, were blasting him as the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And still, with this DNA evidence, which with the prosecution's case, which I thought was pretty fucking strong, they had to acquit him.
Right.
It, very strange to me. I don't know. What do you think about all that evidence, and yet, you know, the justice system couldn't prevail in putting this guy away when it seemed so obvious all the fingers are pointing to him. They excluded everyone else.
Yeah, I don't understand the logic in that. I don't understand why.
I don't either.
He would be acquitted.
Yeah.
I mean, they had DNA evidence.
Right. I mean, normally that's the nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
You know, when you start whipping out DNA and they have, you know, the shoes still, because it's an unsolved case, it's, you know, cold case after that, you know, amount of time, I would assume.
Right.
But they still have the evidence, but now they have new technology. They have new, you know, DNA technology and new ways to test things that are 40, 50, 60 fucking years old and be able to extract some form of compelling evidence to point towards a killer or a criminal.
Right.
That, I thought, was executed there. How do they explain, you know, his blood not on the shoes, if he was attacked in the same spot? How'd they end up that far away? I mean... It just, none of it makes sense. So I thought that was a pretty interesting case. And again,
yeah, I did too.
You know, you have this lake where people in Finland in that area would go to Espoo.
And they still do.
They still do. In fact, it's kind of a
tourist attraction. Yeah,
right. People will go and camp on the exact spot where these murders happen, you know, which I'd probably do the same fucking thing. Well, bless you. Bless you. I'd probably do the same thing. And, you know, it's still people go out there and they get in their boats and, you know, they just do the lake thing. But an unsolved mystery with a lot of similarities, you know, halfway across the, you know, wherever, to Friday the 13th and, you know, Camp Crystal Lake and some crazed madman that, you know, just pops out of nowhere when teenagers are having fun and drinking and you know, smoking and being promiscuous like dirty little teenagers do. And they get killed for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I'm sure everybody can see a lot of similarities in that. So there's pretty good, you know, well, actually, it's on demand is how we watched it. But it's the shocking truth behind Friday the 13th. And they go into the Lake Bodum murders. It's a pretty interesting little documentary. So
that was good.
Yes. There's a movie out, though, but that is in Finnish. So unless you want to read, you know, subtitles and is that what it's called, subtitles?
Yes.
Okay. Unless you, sometimes my mind just goes on vacation. I can't remember if I'm actually, you know, speaking the right words. that one does have subtitles, so that's your thing. I may just have to sit down and deal with some subtitles. And just see how this one's, you know, portrayed out. I guess I could try it for one. But that one is out there. If anybody does the Shudder, which we have been. And it's pretty cool. A lot of different movies. Horror movies. Psychological thrillers. All kinds of good stuff over there. That's where I found it. I don't know if it would be anywhere else.
I don't know either.
I don't know if it's just, you know, strictly on Shudder, but I may have to check that out. When I do, I'll let you know what I thought about it. All right. They're getting ready to lock the doors up here in the insane asylum, so it's time to get the hell out of here. Until next week, I am Otis B. Dreads, and we got Mrs. Dreads sitting over here riding shotgun. Hopefully Malice will be joining us in the future. He's getting some things together, and hopefully that is coming soon. So, until next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.